This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
Good morning at 8:06. Happy race day. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, and what a great show we've got today. Now, Tim Bryant is standing by. He's going to be running down all the 2013 Mobile International Speedway Champions that just happened last week. Also, we're getting ready for the 46th annual running of the Snowball Derby. Joe McArdle also checking in. He was off last weekend from Sunny South Raceway. The track has got some news on the championship banquet coming up in November. And local truck series driver Rick Tipton's got a brand new truck, and he's proudly going to be out this weekend helping promote the Penelope House. He'll tell about how he's got hooked up with those guys and also where you can bring the kids today to check out the truck. But first, it's Dega weekend, and it's a big weekend. So much to cover with NASCAR, and Dustin Long has got a busy schedule, practice getting ready to start. So he's on with us from MRN, and I'm telling you, there's been so much news leading up to Talladega, from Todd Parrott to the Vickers situation with Elliott Sadler. Where do we start? Good morning.
Yeah, certainly a lot of things to talk about here this morning at Talladega. Obviously, news from earlier this week with NASCAR indefinitely suspending Todd Parrott, the crew chief for Eric Almirola, for violating the substance abuse policy. So Parrott is out. Sammy Johns, competition director at Richard Petty Motorsports, will take over as the interim crew chief for Eric Almirola. And just kind of go from there. But, I mean, obviously Todd Parrott, a championship-winning crew chief, won the title in 1999 with Dale Jarrett. And then also you have, like I said, Brian Vickers. We knew that, it was announced on Monday that he was going to be out the rest of the season after a blood clot was discovered in a routine doctor's visit. And so Michael Waltrip's already was scheduled to be in that car this weekend here at Talladega, and the team announced that Elliott Sadler will be in the car for the remaining four races. And then also a FoxSports.com report that Martin Truex Jr. and Furniture Row have come to an agreement, and that Truex will be driving the 78 car starting next season, and that's really not a surprise because there really wasn't any place else for Truex to go. For next season, so especially with not having any sponsorships to take with him. So, it looks all but set Truex to the 78, as with Kurt Busch moving over to Stewart Haas Racing next year.
Silly season starts earlier and earlier every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, it starts as soon as they crank up the engines at Daytona each year in February.
That's what it seems like. Well, let's talk about Sadler for a minute, coming in for the Final Four Cup races with Vickers. A little bit of history with Vickers. Can you tell the story and reason why this is a concern?
Well, certainly it's back in 2010. Brian missed a good part of the season. It's like the last 25 races because of a blood clot. So blood clot he had in his lungs and leg at the time. And so he had to be put on blood thinners, and that's what he's being put on. Blood thinning medication now, so that'll keep him out. But Brian says the doctors have assured him that he should be ready to go for the start of next season. Okay. And speaking of drivers with medical issues, obviously we know Tony Stewart had the surgery last week, the third surgery on his leg. I think the team kind of described it as a precautionary type of endeavor. But Tony was on a NASCAR.com video online chat that it was for an infection. So, and he had said previously that doctors said the first couple months is when you really want to be careful of infection. And he said they were at the end of that period, but that something kind of popped up that kind of concerned the doctor. And so they wanted to take a look at it and take care of it immediately. And so that's where he's at. But he says he's still on pace to be ready for next season as well.
Yeah, I miss seeing him out there in the Cup garage, and I'm sure a lot of the other drivers do as well. Let me ask you about some of the paint schemes. There's been a lot of talk about Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s new Mountain Dew car, and I've seen it already on Facebook, and looks great. But also, how about Busch, Kurt Busch has got the Talladega Nights paint scheme back out with Wonder Bread. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's the whole shake and bake. Kurt's bringing it back. He had some fun here on these plate races with some of the movie themes. Obviously, he's done a City Chevrolet car from Days of Thunder in the past. and obviously the Wonder Bread card this weekend. I did say, you know, they'll talk a little shake and bake on the radio, but says, hey, it's still a chase race. He still has hopes of trying to at least climb into the top five or so on the points. And so they'll be a little bit more, they'll take it a little bit more seriously than maybe they have in some of the nationwide races in the past when they've kind of had a lot of fun with the radio dialogue.
Well, you know, I want to go back to Crew Chief Todd Parrott and him being suspended by NASCAR for breaking the substance abuse policy. You know, they are obviously tested all the time, and it just goes to show it's not just the drivers, but crew chiefs, team members, everyone associated with anyone to do with the car on the track can, I imagine, get drug tested. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's everybody's got, you know, they kind of do a draw, I guess is what you want to call, and NASCAR will come on during the weekend, and whether it's a driver, crew chief, crew member, or whatever, if your number comes up, then you've got to give a specimen. And then, you know, and if they feel like that there's a cause or reason, they'll come and have you do it anyway. But, you know, they randomly test competitors each weekend at the track. So, I mean, it's just kind of a normal thing.
Is Todd going to lose his job at Richard Petty Motorsports, you think, over this?
I did ask a team spokesman, and they said that that's just being reviewed at this point, and they're just trying to get through this weekend, and they'll look ahead next weekend and start figuring things out.
Well, who looks good this weekend? I mean, obviously, you want to stay up front. You had a great story at MRN.com talking about the best place to be, essentially, is up front. But, you know, you hear some of the other drivers that like to lag in the back. Has that changed now with these new style of cars?
Well, I think, you know, where do you hide? I think I think being the points leader seems to help because the points leader entering Talladega has left Talladega as the points leader the last 5 years. Last time there was a different points leader after the Talladega race was in 07. So, No, that doesn't mean it won't happen this weekend. I mean, you know, as you know, all it takes is one bobble, one mistake, wrong place at the wrong time. The points standings can look a whole lot different than what they do. I mean, Matt Kenseth has a 4-point lead on Jimmy Johnson, and you know Kevin Harvick's about 29 points back. And if something happens to Kenseth and Johnson, and Harvick avoids it, hey, you got a 3-man race, or you know if Gordon gets in there and has good luck too, and Kyle Busch, you have a 4 or 5-man race going into the final four races of the season. So we'll see where things pick up after Sunday. I mean, basically, drivers talk about, you know, the chase, that there's kind of two chases. Mm-hmm. First, you just want to get to Talladega, and then the second chase is that they say, you know, in one sense, the chase really starts after Talladega because you know where you stand. You know that's kind of the biggest wild card, and you don't have as many races left, and you know what you've got and what you've got to do.
Yeah, well, you know, you had other good news also reported this week. Brendan Gaughan returning to the Nationwide Series after running trucks for RCR, going to move up to a Camaro, and that's going to be for the whole season, isn't it?
Yeah, he'll be up there full-time, so Richard Childress Racing will field 4 Nationwide teams next year. They'll have Brendan Gaughan in the 62. They'll have Ty Dillon in the 3, Brian Scott in the 2, and then the 33 car will have multiple drivers. And then they're still looking at running in the truck series next year as well.
Well, that's going to be great. Now, how do we keep track of you throughout the day and all weekend long? Obviously, there's so much to cover at Talladega. Where's the best place to catch you, Dustin?
You know, obviously at MRN with our stories, MRN.com, and also on Twitter, @DustinLong.
Now, let me ask you, before we let you go, do you have a favorite for this weekend? It's
whoever,
hard to pick.
Whoever avoids the big crash.
Yeah.
What is it? I think it's four of the last five, maybe six of the last 7 years, there's been a big multi-car crash within the last 7 or 8 laps of the scheduled finish. So,
you never want to leave Dega early because you never know what's
going to happen. You don't mind leaving early because usually there's not as much trouble up front. You stay out of it, and you get the bonus point for leading the lap, and Hey, Mel, if you're racing for the championship and your competitors are lagging in the back, then you can stay up front. Maybe you can get that extra bonus point for leading the most laps.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Dustin, we appreciate everything that you've been doing. You do a great job with MRN, from the radio work to following every track that you've been to this season. And we appreciate the hard work you do for the show. And as always, I know you missed it, but the check's in the mail, my friend.
There you go.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, there you go. That's Dustin Long live from Talladega. And again, it's going to be a big race and already lots of news covering up. Still so much to come. Hang on. Tim Bryant going to run down the 2013 Mobile International Speedway Champions. Also, we get ready for the Snowball Derby. Joe McCardle on the way. And Rick Tipton's got a brand new truck out and about. It's out in the city today. And you can really come by, take a look at it, let the kids climb in. It's going to be a cool event. We'll get all this handled in just a few minutes right here on Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And later today, podcast at usfdracing.org. Welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And later today, we'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org. And thanks to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Mobile Regional Airport, and Sunny South Raceway. And by the way, Joe McCardle on the line with us. And took the weekend off last weekend. And you know what? You didn't take the weekend off because you were building a new truck. I heard a rumor you got another Pro Challenge truck. Is that right?
That is correct. Thanks for having us on the show. But yeah, we do have another Pro Challenge truck in Mobile.
Man, you know, I'm excited about this class because I feel for next year at Sunny South Raceway, that's going to be one of the biggest classes besides our kids' carts that you guys got going on.
Yes, sir. It looks very promising. In fact, the truck that won the championship and holds the track record at Sunny South, the number 7 truck, has been sold.
Oh, it has?
Yeah, to another go-kart out of Florida, and they've already committed to running with us next year.
Oh, that is great. So and if you've not seen these things, they are incredible. Can you explain what these Pro Challenge cars and trucks look like? I know they're quarter size or quarter scale.
Basically, it's a three-quarter scale version of a late model. We had the Dodge Charger, the Chevrolet Monte Carlo, the Ford Fusion, and then we come back with the Chevrolet, Ford, and Dodge trucks.
Yeah,
and you have every adjustment on this you have on a late model.
Yeah.
These dudes even have a quick change rear end in them.
And the thing is these are a lot cheaper than those, too. I mean, what to get one really realistically, you want to go running, what are you going to pay for a rolling chassis compared to a truck ready to run?
Rolling chassis you can pick up for about $3,500. You can get a decent car. You can get a car that's won last year's championship for about $13,000.
Wow.
But you can come back in there for about $8,000 and get a so-so rig and go racing.
Yeah.
It runs a Hoosier slick, coilovers. It's water-cooled. You can't get no better.
Oh, yeah, and it's at that little bull ring, man. I'm telling you, our own private Bristol, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I know you guys are excited about the announcement about having the championship banquet. So give us the dates and what we can expect there.
Okay, we will at the Sims Community Center, which is 10141 Moffett Road. It's just past the, I'll be darned. The Macquarie Road, the road there where Mary Montgomery.
Oh yeah,
that
Mary G.
There,
okay, yeah.
Right. It's just if you stay on Moffett Road and go past Mary Montgomery, look right there on the left. It's facing Moffett Road. It's called Sims Community Center. The banquet will be the 14th of December on a Saturday evening, start at 7:00.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have door prizes,
right.
Good food, and a bunch of championship trophies. It'll be $10 per adult, and children under 12 are free.
Oh, that's awesome. Just like at the track.
Just like at the track.
Well, let's go through, if you've got the time, the 2013 Class of Champions. It was great racing all year long as I did the announcing there and also racing. And to love the track. And, you know, for me to be able to come and actually win the Bomber Championship means the world to me and my family and the race team because, I mean, I started racing the big cars with that Honda I had out there. And I think I've come a little bit better, haven't I?
Yeah, you've got better. You can make 2 laps now.
That's right. I can do that. But we're excited, and I can't wait.
All right. Well, let's just finish up with the Bombers.
Yeah.
Like you say, this dude by the name of Kane, he's got first place, Robert Barber in second,
mm-hmm.
and Matthew Rose in third.
Awesome.
That's in the bomber class, 1, 2, 3. Going from there, we have Stingers. We have the 07 of Brent Hill.
In his first year racing, might I add.
First year racing.
Yep.
You know, not bad for a rookie, right?
That's right.
Yeah, he had him covered. Second place in the number two car is Jarrett Duff. Mm-hmm. And third place in the 22 Stinger
awesome.
Is Daniel Martin.
And he had some up and downs this year, some mechanical issues, and it seems those Stingers really go through motors, don't they?
Oh, man. You know, and it's funny, though, but the Saturn at our track is the most popular one Stinger car.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, they have a hard time keeping them running on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they can get through those turns, but yeah, you're right. Every once in a while, you might see an Acura pop up and
right.
surprise some folks. So we'll have to see what we got for 2014.
Right. I hear that. Pro Challenge, Cole Daffron out of Pell, Alabama.
There you go.
In the number 7 truck, set the track record. Man. In fact, broke the track record again. He went from a 12:31 and took it to a 12:26.
Wow.
He finished first. And old Paw Elmore in the number 3 Monte Carlo professional collision finished second. And we have Andrew Nolan out of Pensacola. Finishing third.
USFD racing driver as well. And, you know, Cole Daffron, you said he sold his truck. What's his plans for next year, do you know?
Well, you know, he bought a car, a Pro Challenge car. He really hadn't made up his mind there, but they have already purchased a Pro Late model. And they're going Pro Late model racing.
Wow. Well, good for Cole. I know he's, it just goes to show Sunny South Raceway, like we have preached and said on the show, is where... You know, we're starting off these drivers all the way down to the kids' carts, you know, and that makes a huge, huge difference for these guys getting in. You know, he's a young kid going to drive that late model. Some people say, oh, well, you know, 12, 13, 14 is too young. Not if they have the experience that these guys have.
Right. And some of these guys, when they're 12 and 13 years old, have experience you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot beat seat time.
No, that's right. And, of course, they're not scared either, are they?
Right. No, for sure they're not scared. All right, Junior One Champ, our second year. I like to refer to him as our second year old Mighty Mike.
Yep.
Grant Thompson. Now, what can I say there?
Mm-hmm.
He sit on the pole. He holds a track record.
Yep.
He's won a couple races. He started on the rear and come through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then you have Maddox Langham, who's been there every race. You have two racers, the Grant Thompson and Maddox, who's been there every race.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Garrett Little has made every race. But anyway, Maddox Langham finished second, and Garrett Little finished third.
Awesome. And then those guys are so entertaining to watch as they're learning how to drive. Again, kudos to the track for that class, because it's really, it has blossomed into something bigger than I ever thought it could be.
Well, I have such a short memory, but anything within 2 years, I think I can remember.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you know what? I'm the same way.
I look at these guys, and I remember almost like their first race last year's Mighty Mites.
Yeah.
You know, we were running races in 5 minutes, but it was taking us 25 minutes to get them lined up.
Yeah, that is so true.
It was
so
unreal.
True.
But these guys, even to this year's Mighty Mites, have really come a long way. Mm-hmm. I mean, there again, it's called seat time.
Yeah.
Okay. Legends, semi-pro, and young lions. You there?
Oh, yeah, we're here. We're listening. We're ready.
All right, semi-pro, young lions. Andrew Johnson out of Mississippi, who has come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
He's even qualifying better than some of the top teams down there. We won't say who. I think one of them's got a 44 on the door.
Uh-oh, easy now.
I tease him, man. I tease him all the time. Andrew Johnson won the semi-pro championship at Sunny South.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, the most improved driver down there.
Yeah.
He's come a long way. He's done his homework. And probably one of the nicer drivers down there.
Mm-hmm.
Both on the track
and off.
And in the pit.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. Okay, finishing second was first place. Who thought he had first place?
Yep.
And who, to give you a little inside. Andrew Johnson went over to Conley Duvasson's pit our last race mm-hmm. and congratulated him on winning the championship.
Wow. It was that close.
That close. But as it turned out, Andrew beat Conley by 8 points. But it just goes to show you the character that Andrew Johnson got.
Wow. Yeah, he'll make a good champion. And, wow, how about that? 8 points, that is close.
8 points. You know, and just to show you, here's a man that all year long had questions. He would come ask me.
Yep.
But he asked. He never raised his voice. He never shouted. He never threatened.
Yeah.
You know, he asked. Okay, Andrew Johnson first, Conley Duvasson second, and then 96, Robbie Johnson third.
Had some good runs this year as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, this is the semi-pro version of the legends.
Yep.
Okay, the master pro class.
Mm-hmm.
What can I say? Hunter Lewis, number 7.
Amazing run again this year.
Had a good run all year long.
Yeah.
He finished first in the black and white number 7 mm. and finished in second for the second year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Was Joseph McArdle in the 44.
Wow.
And old Brad West in the 94 put together enough finishes to finish third.
So after 2 years in a row, the Pro Masters still, Hunter Lewis last year and McArdle top 1 and 2. You see a little rivalry there at the shop? You guys talking a little something there or what?
Well, you know, there is a little rivalry.
Yeah.
So far, it's been under control.
That's a good way to put it.
You know, both sides have had things to say.
Sure.
But I'm going to control it. I'm not going to let it get out of hand. Right. There's no sense in it.
Right. It's got to be fun.
When you stop thinking about it, I mean, you can talk smack. That's fine. But there's a certain guideline you need to go by, certain rules you need to obey, and just there's no need for all that other stuff.
Yeah, you don't talk about the other driver's mama, right?
No. Right. But, you know, that's 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
The 7's finished first and the 44's finished second. We lost the championship last year by 6 points.
Wow, that's tough. That is tough.
Well, it's tough. But, you know, we made all the races, so did the 7, and same thing this year.
Yep.
You know, you do what you got to do. You do the best you can do.
That's it.
And it all comes down to a bad night here, a missed gear over there, or a bad qualification over here.
Or a tag on the wall there and there and
racing.
There.
It's called racing.
Yeah.
Okay, Bandoleros. We split them up again this year.
Yep.
You have Bandits and you have Outlaws. Finishing first in Outlaws was the number 2 car.
Great.
Colin Sublich out of Mississippi. And finishing second to him was Jacob Stokes in the 37.
Another young driver who's had a tough loss. His mother passed of cancer this year, and Colin still made the race
that week.
So he's a trooper and a great driver and a well-deserved champion.
Well, he's got a good dad. He's got his back, and that's what it takes.
That's it. Amen.
Okay, on the Bandit side, the 14 red, white, and blue, Connor Ohl.
Yep.
Connor Ohl. He finished first in the Bandit side.
Mm-hmm.
Little Josie McArdle finished second.
Oh, yeah.
Raleigh Matthews brought up third out of Mississippi.
And I know these guys, I think we're going to see the Bandit class or those cars anyway grow because a lot of our Carters, that's the next step up, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. And we've already, I think, let's see. Well, I was told last week that somebody else bought another Bando.
Wow.
Presley Brothers got a Bando. There's 4 more here in town.
Really?
I see a bigger class next year. And at this time, I'd like to tell everybody the Bandolero School will be announced. It will start crank up again in January.
Oh, great.
Right. So we got that going. But this is all our champions for this year. I'd like to congratulate all of them personally. I can remember when some of them was walking around in the pits, if you can believe that.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, and I've watched them all grow, and I'm just glad to be part of it, man.
It's a cool place to grow up at the racetrack and to watch these drivers graduate. Like, you know, you talk about the Thomas Praters that started there, the the K.O. Gales, the Grant Enfingers,
right.
And these guys are all in the, you know, top layer of their class and running big levels from ARCA all the way up to the Cup. So you got to feel good about your heritage at the track. And I don't know if we can do it or not, but some big changes in the off season. Are you going to let any of the cats out of the bag yet?
Well, let me just say this. There's some rumors floating around.
Oh, yeah.
A couple different rumors. One of them concerns winter racing.
Yeah.
I'll say this. We have a meeting with Alabama Power. I think it's the 14th of next month.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's taken care of, some other things will fall in place. But we're not going to announce the winter race until probably third week of November.
Oh, wow.
But, and there's a reason for it. I'm just going to say, if you lack another form of racing, come to Sunday South next year.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I will say this. Sunday South will go fully electronic next year.
Wow.
By that, I mean race receivers and transponders in all classes.
Great.
We will qualify you, and we will run you, and we will give you a printout on everything that you do practically at Sunday South.
That's awesome.
Right.
That's a great way as a crew chief and as a team to learn where you can improve, especially times and laps and everything
that. You can't, you know, again, it's seat time, but now you have a lap time to match the seat time.
Well, I'm excited about it. Again, one more time, the banquet, the date, Saturday, December 14th at the Sims Community Center. It's dinner, dessert served, lots of trophies and lots of goodies. So make sure if you guys race this year.
Come.
Yeah, I'm definitely. Oh, I'll be there. Don't worry. Joe, really quick, you got a pick for Talladega this weekend?
Yes and no. I'm a Jimmy Johnson fan.
Yeah.
I would like to see Earnhardt win for sentimental reasons.
Of course.
I just, you know, the big one's going to happen. I just hope everybody makes it through.
That's the best way to say it. Well, Joe, you have a blessed weekend, my friend, and we'll look forward to having you on another couple of weeks and talk about some more changes at the track coming up.
Sounds good, man.
All right, there you go. That's Joe McArdle, and we appreciate him and being a big part of the show. And Kane Motorsports, again, going to take that championship trophy home. Thank you to everybody that made that a big part of it, including McDonald's this year, Bayside Insurance right there on Airport Boulevard, Mobile Regional Airport, Performance Graphics, also Bay City Collision, Auto Painter Supply, and Mobile Metro Glass. Dennis Aluminum and Foley's helping out also with the 2014 car, Alabama Teen Challenge, and, of course, my friends at Pull Apart. More to come? You betcha. We've got more racing to all cover, including Tim Bryan. We're going over the champions from Mobile International Speedway, and we've got some news about the Snowball Derby. Hang on. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, we'll podcast the show later at usfdracing.org. So again, it looks like Jimmy Johnson has been the favorite to pick so far for Talladega. Dustin Long goes the safe route, and so does Joe McArdle. So before we even get started on everything else we have to cover with Mobile International Speedway at Five Flag Speedway, got to ask you, Tim Bryan, it's Dega weekend, man. Who you going with?
Well, you know what? I'm going with David Reagan for a clean sweep at Talladega, and hopefully he can back it up with a win at the Snowball Derby in December.
Spoken like a true promoter. You got to love it. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show. You know, we want to talk about the last race we had. Finally got it in. Showers, no, and we had a good run with Mobile International Speedway, finally able to crown the champions. And we had three classes to go with last weekend, the Bombers, Sportsmen, and Modifieds. And how'd it go?
Well, you know what? We did crown three champions, and congratulations to Donald Crocker, who finished off an awesome season at MIS and won the Alabama Pipe and Supply Modified Championship. Of course, probably no one surprised Steve Buttrick. Closed the deal on 2013 with a championship at MIS with all the wins he's got at both tracks. A phenomenal season for Steve Buttrick. However, he was the bridesmaid last Saturday night, as Mark Barnhill certainly has that three-car strolling. And as we head towards Snowball Derby, I guarantee you he's going to be a contender and somebody Steve's going to be looking out for. And, of course, B.J. Latham pulls off a win in the Island Motors 2 Bomber season championship event. But Jamie Corey with an awesome season. Congratulations to Jamie and all the day racing butts that helped put that 38 car on the track. It was a good championship run for them.
In a season that he said he wasn't going to run for a championship, just run occasionally, because he's a new papa too. And what a great way to surprise everybody and be dominant again this year. So definitely congratulations to Jamie, Darren, his dad, and all the day guys who put up good cars everywhere they go. Again, JJ winning the Truck Series. And I'm telling you what, I'm excited about the trucks coming to Five Flag Speedway this year for the Snowball Derby. I've talked to a lot of people on Facebook, and a lot of people seem to, A, be either building these trucks for next season, or I think we're going to get a lot from the Carolinas. I think North Alabama, there's some in Mississippi. I think you're going to have quite a few, and it's going to be pretty cool to see these guys going around Five Flags.
Well, I think it is going to be an awesome event, and we've had calls from Texas, Tennessee, of course, the southern part of Florida where they run trucks down there. Everybody coming together, sort of some Georgia trucks. I think it's going to be a good day. It's going to put a little extra excitement into our Saturday event for us at the Snowball. And as you said, we see some really good things coming down the pipeline for the truck series.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and finish up what we're talking with Mobile now, because between the two tracks, you had the Gulf Coast Championship Series with Sunoco, and again, a great run with all the guys, and we talked about them last show, but again, you've got the Bomber winner, TJ Williams, who's a guy who lives in Mississippi, makes that haul every time we raced at Mobile, and every time at Five Flag Speedway. I don't think he missed a single one, and what a great way to win a championship.
Yeah, and TJ is just a great ambassador for racing in general. Not only along the Gulf Coast here, but anywhere and everywhere. The guy is just always positive and sees the good in anything. And by the way, kind of quietly and methodically, he's got that red and gold 33 car running even better.
Yeah.
Couldn't help but notice last Saturday night he kind of eked his way into contention. So he's going to be a good Gulf Coast champion. But next year, I guarantee you, he's going to be going for some.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And excited news this week that your super late model champion actually getting his dream, as he calls it on Facebook, Donnie Hemrick is going to be able to drive a truck in Martinsville, and he takes the win in the super late. So, and that's another driver, of course. People who don't know, won that $1 million race in Charlotte in the Legend Cars, bumped up. He took a lot of the winnings of the money to get into pro late models, and look what he's done with the supers.
Well, Daniel Hemrick is a true short track racer. He's a young guy, and although he's been around a while, as you mentioned, with a great reputation in the Legends cars and Bandoleros. He come up through the ranks, but still just a young guy, and it's great to see him get an opportunity. I believe Eddie Sharp Racing is actually fielding a truck for him at Martinsville, and don't be surprised if he isn't a contender right out of the gate. Daniel Hemrick runs good no matter what he drives or where he goes.
Right, and now the other Gulf Coast Championship Series, Steve Buttrick takes the Sportsman, Chopper Stagner with the Pro Trucks, Donnie Hamrick with the Modifieds, and I want to take a really quick second and just mention that if you've not been to the Snowball Derby, now is the time to get tickets in one of my favorite races, even though I compete in the Bombers and will be there that Thursday night, but man, that Friday night with all those open wheel Modifieds, one of my favorite classes. You're not going to find a class of drivers and really that class of Modifieds anywhere else along the Gulf Coast or in the nation.
Well, you know what, Kane? It's kind of funny this year as we head into the Snowball. It's hard to figure out what is the highlight of the 4-day event. Of course, it all leads up to Sunday's 300 lap super late model race, as we all know. Friday night, as you mentioned, and let me back up. Going backwards, the Alan Turner Snowflake 100 has reached new heights in recent years with the popularity of that 100 lap super pro late model event. The addition of trucks on Saturday, Friday night. As you mentioned, the modified race, always one of the fans' favorite, probably one of the most dramatic super late model qualifying sessions in the entire country, is pole position qualifying on Friday night. And, of course, the super stock race will be good as well. But let me tell you, even Thursday night this year, I mean, I'm hearing some real smack about the Bowler You Pull It Bomber portion of the Snowball Derby. So, you know, that heads everything up on Thursday night. The Sportsman race, we already mentioned about Steve Buttrick, Mark Barnhill going head-to-head. Brandon Fowler's looking for a win there. There'll be a long list of drivers. So, we probably have a little more excitement brewing this year than we have had yet to this point.
You know, what I've noticed in the Bombers class, obviously one of my favorites for obvious reasons, there's about five or six really good cars that could win it this year. Usually you'll have one or two that just dominate that race, and it's a wreck fest. And I tell you what, the smack talk, you've seen it on Facebook and everyone, and it's friendly so far, but day of the race, ain't nobody going to give anybody any room. I'm just telling you.
Everybody wants that Snowball Derby trophy, and of course Michael Nelson, our bomber champion here at Five Flags, is the defending winner of the Snowball in the bomber division last year. So and by the way, good opportunity for us to mention the open test session coming up in just a few weeks. Saturday, November 23rd, all the divisions, will rotate them all day long. Be plenty of practice time for everybody with minimal cost involved, and it's going to be like a race day on November 23rd. We'll have all of our officials will be working, tech will be open, tires, fuel available, will be everything that goes with a race except a trophy and a check, I suppose.
Well, that's what it's all about with the test session. Can you tell us, have you seen any other entries? I know your website, doing great with FiveFlagSpeedway.com or SnowballDerby.com. You're really starting to, this year, and we've talked about it all year long, really promoting some more of your local drivers and local classes. So when you're getting their names up and these guys are pre-registering, well, their face and their names going right up on the website. And that's great. Also, another great way to attract sponsors.
Well, absolutely, and you know, again, we'd like to encourage any of the local guys to go ahead and get those entries in. Not only can you save some money with the early entry, but you'll allow us to, you know, get your picture posted up on the SnowballDerby.com, and you can use that as your as a sponsor search. Perhaps everybody in every division is always looking for a little extra help for the Snowball Derby, and as we promote the event, certainly it's we know it's tough out there in the business world to attract sponsors, but for an event like this, it's not as tough as it normally is. So encourage guys to get out there, find them a little bit of help, and get somebody's name up on the sides of those cars.
Oh, absolutely. And we got to give props really quick. Snowball Derby defending champion Eric Jones wins the Winchester 400, a great race. You talk about late models, and this is one entry that, you know, last year he beat Kyle Busch. This year he's driving the same car that he beat.
Kind of made me think, because I was catching the end of the Winchester race on speed51.com. If you can't beat them, join them. So Kyle Busch saw some talent last year as he raced wheel to wheel with Eric Jones towards the end of the Snowball Derby, signed him to a contract, got him going in some Camping World Truck Series events, and signed him up for three super late model events, the first of which was Winchester. He won that. The All-American 400 comes up at Nashville in 3 weeks on the weekend of November 1st and 2nd, and then he'll be behind the wheel of the KBM 51 at the Snowball. So, you know, he's going to come in with a lot of momentum. The car's always fast, and certainly he's a driver that proved he could get her done.
Well, and Eric Jones had a good racing career before he won the Snowball Derby, got himself to the Derby, and I'm hearing a lot in the national news that the Snowball Derby has made his career. As a promoter, you got to feel real good about that.
Well, I mean, you know, we feel very blessed to have an event, and of course, you know, the credit all goes to a guy named Tom Dawson, God rest his soul, who started this event in 1968, Kane, and, you know, this year will be the 46th uninterrupted year. A lot of people have had their hands in the race over the years, and we've simply tried to nurture it along and improve it slightly, since we've kind of been at the helm, but, it is a big event, and, you know, Stephen Wallace still kind of hangs his hat on a Snowball Derby win. You hardly ever see Johanna Long at a nationwide race, but they don't mention her Snowball Derby win. So it's definitely a big feather in the cap of a driver, and we're very appreciative of that.
Now, I know you also, obviously, we've got the awards banquets at Mobile coming up. Do you have a date ready to announce for Five Flags yet, or are you holding off on that?
Yeah, no, it's actually going to be scheduled for January the 9th or 11th, I can't remember. I think it's the second Saturday.
Okay.
It'll be the second Saturday in January, so we'll be releasing the details on that. But right now, our focus is on the MIS Awards Banquet.
Yes.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Talking about champions, we want to give them all, you know, their due respect and invite folks to come out. We'll be releasing details this weekend, as a matter of fact. By Monday, on our website at mobilespeedway.net, we'll have details for the banquet as far as the actual times and the cost and what have you. So that's going to be a fun event in the party barn at the Speedway.
You know, we talk about so many other things you do on the off season, and we might be throwing out here real quick. You've done an amazing job with the Emerald Coast Drifters. These are the guys that go through the road course that you actually had set up for motorcycle racing, and these guys have turned it into drifting, and it has become a underground success, I think is the best way to put it, especially the night drifting. These drifters, you know, you throw around ideas of other shows coming up. Do you have any dates you're playing around with, or do we need to get through the Derby first?
Well, yes and no. We don't have a date yet, but we're working on that this weekend as well.
Wow,
we're going to schedule a practice day on the existing course here at Five Flags, and as soon as the Derby is over, we're actually going to go in and be making some improvements to the infield course so that we can start the 2014 drifting season with a new layout.
Wow.
At Five Flags. So we're excited about that. We'll be telling more about that as the details come forward. But probably we'll be having a drift practice here coming up real soon, and then we'll have another event, an official event on a new layout in early January.
Well, it's Saturday, November 23rd, the Snowball Derby preview, free for fans to get into the stands to watch all of us try to dial in our cars. And again, if I want to get tickets, what's the best way to get them to the Derby this year?
Well, simply call the Speedway. 850-944-8400. We still like to deal with folks one-on-one, and ticket sales are going really good, but there's some good seats left, so just encourage folks to do it as soon as possible. We can either mail them to you, or you can simply pay for them over the phone by credit card and pick them up at Will Call on race day.
Well, we appreciate everything you're doing for the racing community. Can't wait for that practice date, and of course, so much more leading up to the Derby, so snowballderby.com, fiveflagspeedway.com, and of course, next Saturday right here. Tim, we appreciate it, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Kane, and thanks for all you do for the entire racing community along the Gulf Coast.
Oh, we're thrilled to do it. That's Tim Bryant with Five Flag Speedway. Again, he's getting busy and getting ready to get that track in shape, and I'm telling you, there's not an off day when it's leading up to the Snowball Derby. Still to come, we've got a local driver, Rick Tipton. He's got that good-looking 49 truck out there, a brand-new truck he just built, and he's going to be helping promote the Penelope House this morning. He's going to be out and about with that truck, and actually, I'm heading to the second annual car show benefit fundraiser for Alabama Team Challenge. It's down in Foley, and it's right at FoleyAssembly.com. Go to FoleyAssembly.com. It's right off of East Avenue. You can't miss it off of 98, and there's going to be tons of cars out there, lots of trophies, and I'll have some great tunes and emceeing the event. So we'll see you down in Foley at the Foley Assembly of God for the second annual car show coming up. In just a few minutes, Rick Tipton, hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, thank you so much to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Mobile Regional Airport. Also, our good friends there at Bayside Insurance with two locations on Airport Boulevard. Also, right over there at Spanishport Boulevard on the Eastern Shore for coming on board and being part of the show. So, Tim Bryant, okay, he gave us our rundown of who he thinks is going to win. David Reagan at Dega, Dustin Long, and Joe McCarlo. They're picking, of course, the number 48 car. So, before we get into the interview with Rick Tipton, it's Dega weekend. Rick, you got to tell me, who are you thinking for Dega, brother?
I'm kind of hoping for Jeff Gordon.
I'm a Gordon fan, too. And it's almost like you have to be a closet Gordon fan, and that's a terrible thing.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Well, that's going to be good. Now, Rick, you're obviously probably not going to the track because you've got a brand-new truck that you've built. And, you know, we've had you on before because I like what you guys are doing. You know, I've got a cause, obviously, childhood cancer with McDonald's and a Ronald McDonald House. We've kind of teamed together. And you've got a special cause with the Penelope House that you've promoted them for the past couple of years with your truck. Talk about the new truck, the brand-new build, and where you're at today.
Well, right now we built a brand-new Chevrolet truck. We changed the paint scheme up on it a little bit. Oh, we went from silver to black.
It looks good, by the way. Really does.
Well, thank you. And today we're taking it over to Ruby Tuesdays on Airport McGregor.
Ooh.
And we'll be out there at 11 o'clock. And, you know, bring your kids, whoever you want to bring. They can sit in the truck. They can take pictures. And they can even meet me. So.
Listen to you. Well, that's a good thing. You're the driver, man, and that's huge, especially when the kids come. And, you know, you're going to have that right parked on the side of Airport Boulevard, one of the busiest streets in the state, so that's awesome. And now, Penelope House, you and your wife are together on this. Tell a little bit about what Penelope House is and why you got involved and why you're putting your racing towards them.
Well, it all started off, we tried to find sponsors for the truck, and they were hard to come by. And we didn't want to go out with just a plain old truck. And me and my wife were talking one night, and she said, well, why don't we do it this way? And she's got a cousin that works for Penelope House. Mm-hmm. She said, well, we could do it this way. So we got talking to Penelope House, and we talked to some of the people for the breast cancer awareness. And so we ended up putting the breast cancer awareness and Penelope House on the truck. And we've been going since then. You know, we go to the events, and we try to help out every way we could. And we meet a lot of people, we have a lot of fun, and we got a good-looking truck out of it.
Oh, yeah. Now, what does the Penelope House do? What is their purpose?
Pinoza's House purpose is for the battered women. Mm-hmm. They give safe shelter for them and their kids under time of need. And I said, just something good to have to do.
Yeah, you know, and that's cool that you can take, you know, you see the giving back aspect of it with racing, you know, because not everybody can afford to race. It helps to have the sponsors, and even if you don't, look what you're doing to try or you raise awareness and money for the Penelope House through your racing. Now, talk about this truck. Now, what's the difference between the truck that you had from last year and this year? What kind of change? How'd you cheat it up, Rick?
I ain't figured that part out yet. I've figured it out twice this year. You know, I've got to get a lot of bugs out of it, but... Yeah. I need more room in the truck, and this new
How tall are you?
I'm 5'11".
Okay, 5'11", but you need more room in the truck. They're kind of compact, it looks like.
Yeah, they're kind of compacted, and the way the other truck is built, which my son has it, is just, I need more leg room, and we decided we're going to build a new truck, and boy, it was a chore to do.
Well, you know, last time they ran, Brandon had a scary truck wreck. Can you tell us what happened on the front straightaway?
Well, Brandon was running, and a boy ended up popping his tire. Instead of staying up high, he come down, going in towards the pits, and Brandon was there.
And he had nowhere to go. I mean, I wasn't there, but I heard he pretty much went over the top of the truck, and man, there was a lot of damage. I saw some graphic photos with sparks just flying off the side of his truck.
Yeah, he did go up the side of the truck. It was so bad, it bent the boy's seat in it, the other
truck.
Jeez,
are you serious?
I'm serious. It ripped his radio loose and everything, which he was lucky. And Brandon was lucky, too, because he could have went over. But, you know, he held on and moved it around.
This truck class seems to be, and I was talking with Tim Bryant earlier, it seems to be one of the newest crazes for racing locally. I mean, you know, a lot of people would move from the Bombers up to the Sportsman, but now I'm talking to drivers. There's a lot of people building these trucks, and they're a good-looking ride. Trucks are popular already in the South. You've got them running at Dega, and now you've got them running at your local tracks. They're now added to the Snowball Derby on Saturday, and they're looking at having maybe 25 or 35 of these trucks. I mean, Tim just said they're talking about having people coming from not just Pensacola, but from the Carolinas, calls from Texas with these trucks. Are you going to be running the Derby?
No, I'm going to set out the Derby this time.
You don't want to wreck it.
I don't want to wreck it yet, but it just, you know, it takes a lot of time and money to get one going, and it's just the money's not there right now. Like I said, everything we do comes out of our pockets with no sponsors, and so.
Let's just go over that for a minute. A set of tires for these trucks, these Hoosiers, how much does it cost?
It's almost right at $500.
How long will that last?
If you're lucky, you'll get two races out of it.
Wow.
Usually you get a race and a practice with it.
That's amazing. So that's the kind of cost factor it costs just for a recreational racer to be running these types of cars. Not regular gas. I imagine you're running racing fuel.
We're running racing fuel. The average race, if you do it the right way, if you want to stay competitive and all that, it's going to cost you about $700 a race to go racing.
Wow. That's with everybody getting into the pits and everything. So a sponsor's money would help out quite a bit. And, again, you've got a good-looking truck. Obviously, everyone's got a Facebook page. Just look up Rick Tipton. He's right here in the Sims area, Mobile, Alabama. You can see pictures of the truck and probably private message him. And I'm sure there's room on the hood or somewhere for a sponsor decal or two, right?
Yes, sir. There sure is.
Well, again, Ruby Tuesdays today at 11 o'clock with, again, Rick Tipton Motorsports and, of course, that brand-new truck. Now, how is Brandon doing with his truck now? Obviously, it's fixed. Are you guys planning on running his truck at the Derby, or are you guys going to hold off until the next season?
No, we're going to hold off next season. Brandon got in another wreck after that one the following week. He ended up breaking an axle, and he went off turns 3 and 4, and it tore it up pretty good. So we're mainly going to have to rebuild the truck. And so he's out for the rest of the season. So,
but he was okay, obviously.
Yeah, he was okay. Just heartbroken. But
yeah, well, what do you think about this truck series? What has gravitated you to it? Because you've run Sportsman and other classes. Why are you running the trucks?
I like the trucks. You know, it's a good looking vehicle. They drive good. They're fun to drive, and it's just something that we always wanted to do when we started seeing it on TV, and the opportunity came up. Chris Brownlee brought the first one down there.
Yeah. I remember that, blue number two.
Yeah, he brought it down, and he got it started and all that. And it's been fun. Like I said, you know, it's a fun thing to drive. They drive good if you set them up right. It's something different.
Well, and I tell you, you're doing a great job with it, what you're doing to promote the Penelope House again. And, Rick, we wish you good luck. And as you've got more events coming up, let us know. We'll get you back on the air because, kids, you need to stop over there at Ruby Tuesdays, get you some lunch. How about the Penelope House? And just go look at this beautiful ride. It's on Facebook at Rick Tipton, but also you can see it live at Ruby Tuesdays. Rick, thank you so much for calling in today, my friend.
All right, thank you, and you have a good day.
All right, you do the same thing. And that's going to do it, wrapping up the show of Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Later we'll podcast it at usfdracing.org. And again, I want to go on the air and say thank you once again to David Owens, my crew chief for 2013. He's decided to sit out, take some time off, do some fishing. Don't blame you. He's been racing since he was 17 almost every year. And that gets to be a little tiresome, I'm sure. So I'm so thankful that he came on board and gave Kane Motorsports our best year ever in racing. To win a pole, the last race of the year, last year, and then the first one here at Mobile International Speedway this year. 5 wins at Sunny South Raceway and the championship. I can't thank him enough. And again, the sponsors, too. Pull Apart was a big part of that this year, and they'll help out again next year. On the hood, Ronald McDonald again. All 74 Gulf Coast McDonald's are on board with Kane Motorsports. We're so thankful for them. Bayside Insurance, Mobile Regional Airport and Performance Graphics, also Bay City Collision. They're the guys that, they got a lot of work when I have to straighten out that car. So them and Auto Painter Supply, so thankful. Mobile Metro Glass, Dennis Aluminum and Foley, Alabama Teen Challenge. And again, Alabama Teen Challenge having a car show today. Remember, that's going on down at Foley Assembly of God. I'm heading over there right now. We have some tunes going on, some already. We've got some Mustangs. I've seen a couple Corvettes already on Facebook that are lined up out there. So we'll be out there until 2 o'clock. It's going to be a great fun. And all the money that goes proceeds to Alabama Teen Challenge. Learn about who they are online at alabamateenchallenge.org. Have a blessed weekend. My pick for Dega? I'm going Jeff Gordon. I've got to go that route. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
If you'd like to be featured on Full Throttle Racing with Kane, email us at fullthrottleracingwithkane@yahoo.com. And we may have you and your race team on the air. Join us again next Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. for another hour of local and national racing news on Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5.